What I'm going to do is a fairly narrow presentation. It's about U.S., for one thing. It's about U.S. manufacturing studies. And that's because there are many other studies, some of which you'll hear about later in this session, from Asia and some from Europe, which bear on this, but we can't do all of it in 15 minutes. So I'm going to focus on U.S. computer manufacturing worker studies, some of which I've been involved with, and I will primarily be talking about mortality studies. And I have to show this slide like everyone else. This is in the past 12 months. Bob mentioned that I did testify in a lawsuit on behalf of IBM workers against IBM, but that was 8 years ago. As part of this litigation, the attorneys for the plaintiffs, Mandy Hawes, if she's here, here she is, managed to pry loose from IBM something called their corporate mortality file. And the initial response when Mandy requested this as part of the discovery process is, what mortality file? We don't have no stinking mortality file. And turns out, Mandy found out she was interviewing somebody who maintained that file and went to the judge and got production of the multiple disks CDs of mortality information about IBM workers. So, and these were people who were whose families were eligible for the death benefits of those who had died as IBM workers. So that's what we looked at, and that's actually what we analyzed in preparation for this trial. And then we subsequently looked at another subgroup of workers within that file who had worked at the Endicott IBM plant, the original IBM plant, which is in Endicott, New York. So I'm going to talk a little about both of those. Stepping back for a minute, when we first started looking at this IBM file, the corporate mortality file, there wasn't much in the literature, even internationally, about health risks either to semiconductor manufacturing workers or, you know, electronics industry workers in particular. There had been a study of IBM employees whose job put them in front of a video display terminal, and the question that was being addressed was, does that increase the risk of brain cancer in the people who are staring at these, you know, cathode ray tubes? And they used the corporate mortality file, actually, in that study. So it's sort of odd that they would argue they didn't have one, because they'd already had a published article by a consultant, Colleen Bell and her colleagues, using the corporate mortality file, which actually found that it was quite complete. And it was, in other words, a good basis for doing these kinds of studies. But they didn't find any association between brain cancer and work at these cathode ray terminals. There was another study that had been published shortly before we started looking at this larger one of IBM workers that was from Scotland, or it was the Health and Safety Executive, actually, that did this for the UK. It was looking at workers at the National Semiconductor Plant in, blanking on the name, Stirling, or right near Stirling, Scotland. And that found some increases of risk of both death due to cancer and incidence of cancer in the workers from this one plant, in particular breast cancer in women who'd worked there a long time, and lung cancer were both elevated in that study, and a couple of other smaller findings. There were some other studies that already had been published in the of workers in the UK and Taiwan, usually of workers in one plant. And so the numbers were pretty small, and the results were inconsistent. At least one of the studies in Taiwan, I think, showed excess leukemia as a cause of death amongst those workers. And in the UK, one or both actually showed excess melanoma of the skin. But again, these are on one plant, workers in one plant, so they were sort of limited by small numbers. This is a little bit more background on the IBM study that we did. And this is largely as a result of the work that Mandy, an industrial hygienist named Mark Nikas, found out during the pre-trial depositions. So, for example, this is not an exhausted list, but there were solvents such as trichloroethylene, methylene chloride, isopropyl alcohol, methyl ethyl ketone, and freon, all of which were used at some point or another. This is a plant that made hard drives, so it was not technically a semiconductor manufacturing plant, but it was an electronics manufacturing plant and had a clean room. Additional substances included epoxy resins, photoresist chemicals, bisphenol A, that actually came up in the trial. It was kind of in the early phases of what we now know about bisphenol A as a breast carcinogen, and then polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, a long list, and electromagnetic fields to add to the mixture of things that workers are exposed to. So this is a very short version of the results, and this is just looking at a measure that we call a proportional cancer mortality ratio. The published article has a fairly long explanation of why we like that measure in a study like this. So for brain and central nervous system cancer in the San Jose workers, there was a more than threefold excess of deaths due to that. It was statistically significant. Kidney cancer was elevated in the San Jose workers. Non-Hodgkin's lymphoma was slightly elevated in this particular analysis of San Jose workers, not statistically significant. That's in males. And then below that, in females, breast cancer was significantly elevated in the San Jose workers compared to, actually we compared to multiple groups. We compared to the U.S. workers or U.S. population, to the state of California, and to the Silicon Valley four counties. And it was elevated in all of those comparisons. And then finally, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma was elevated, although not statistically significant, in females. So that was that's all incorporated into the mortality study of the San Jose workers. There was a similar, or I should say, at the time that study was underway, IBM had contracted once again with Colleen Bell to do a what they call standardized mortality ratio study. I realize this is not a epi class here, so I'm not going to go into all these fine distinctions, but SMRs are often seen in the occupational literature where the mortality experience of a group of workers is compared to the general population. And are they higher or lower than what would be expected based on the general population? So that's what they mainly did. They also looked at some internal comparisons in this 2005 published article. And they basically said there's nothing going on. This was contractors at the University of Alabama hired by IBM to study the workers at three large manufacturing plants, including San Jose, East Fishkill, New York, and they call it Burlington. It's also called Essex Junction, Vermont. And although there was one finding that is in the published article that's about brain cancer, and it's in the, especially in the workers at the Burlington, Vermont, East Fishkill, Essex Junction plant. And that was in there because the subcontractors that did the exposure assessment insisted that it be in there. And they worked at Harvard School of Public Health. A guy named Bob Herrick was in charge of that group. And they fought to keep that finding in the report, in the published article. So it wouldn't have been there otherwise. And in fact, the way Bob explained it, they had to get the lawyers to talk to each other, the IBM lawyers and the Harvard lawyers, because they had a subcontract that said they could publish the findings that they found if they, you know, went through this with this contract. And again, the way Bob put it was that the Harvard lawyers were more obnoxious than the IBM lawyers, so they prevailed, and this is what was actually a published finding. But otherwise, the main findings of the article are called unremarkable. I want to say a little bit more about this. This is unfortunately a slide that contains a graphic that's in the published article, it's in the online journal. It doesn't show up very well, so I'm just going to tell you what it's trying to show. This is a comparison of the Bell et al. Subcontractor or contractor for IBM results with our results in the study that was published by the journal called Environmental Health. And if you can make out the two different colors, the red triangles are the SMR results, and the line that says 100 means that it's either above or below what would be expected in this particular study for these groups of cancers. These are all cancer deaths that are being represented here. And then the blue squares are from the proportional analysis that we did that was published in the other journal, Environmental Health. And if you can make it out, I mean, basically it's the same pattern. The point of this graphic is that what's up in one is up in the other, and what's down in one is down in some of them. Actually, it looked like they're exactly the same. Multiple myeloma is like that. So my summary of this is we're looking at the same thing. We're looking at the workers who died who worked at the IBM plant, or plants in the case of the Bell et al. Study. We're just looking at it in different ways. So it's not like we're coming out of nowhere with completely different findings. It's really a difference in interpretation of what we see, because we're looking at the same thing. And I say we see an excess of a number of different types of cancer. So then quickly, the Endicott study. This was just workers in this one plant. It was the original IBM plant. And they used to make, among other things, typewriters. That's how IBM, I think, started. Clocks. They also made guns for some reason there. I didn't put this up, but they, for some reason, IBM at one point was making guns. And then more recently, printed circuit boards. Again, some of the same exposures occurred at this Endicott plant as in the other manufacturing plants. So benzene, trichloroethylene, perchloroethylene were the solvents. Asbestos was in this plant. And this was some of you may have seen this, there was widespread contamination of groundwater in the town of Endicott. So actually this was national news because of that, because trichloroethylene, especially coming from the IBM plant, the plume had gone underneath people's houses, and it was coming up in their house as through what's called vapor intrusion. So I went out to a meeting, actually, at the result of a request from a community group to talk about the IBM worker study that we had done elsewhere, and some workers were in the audience, about this same size, and said, what about us? That's why we did this study. It was based on the same mortality file as we had gotten in the original IBM mortality lawsuit, and so we did the same kind of analysis, PCMR analysis, and about that same time, NIOSH was looking at whether they should do a study of the workers, a complete cohort study of the workers at this plant. So I support that. I still support that. In fact, I just spoke to the person who is in charge of that. Her name is Sharon Silver, and she said, we're close to having it done. They actually did a cohort study of the workers in this plant. So I wish I could present that here. Dr. Kong asked if there's anything new that I would be presenting. I can't, unfortunately, but it's close. And they're also looking at not only mortality in this cohort, but testicular cancer incidence. The reason for that is that testicular cancer usually doesn't cause death, so the better way to do it is look at the incidence of testicular cancer. So both of those are nearing completion. She wouldn't even tell me off the record what they were going to say, so stay tuned. And then finally, I want to talk about the Semiconductor Industry Association large cohort study that was published about 2 years ago now in the, I believe, the Journal of Occupational and Environmental Medicine. Some people used to call that the Journal of Negative Results. So this was a industry-sponsored study by the Semiconductor Industry Association. They looked at two huge semiconductor manufacturing companies in this country. I mentioned in this country, that's actually what they limited it to. And they found not only no excess, it was a significant decrease in mortality from all causes combined and mortality from cancer. Funny they should come up with that. This is what's called the healthy worker effect. And it's well known in epidemiologic circles as if people are healthy enough to work, when you compare them to the general population, they're always going to look like they're healthier. That's what they found here. They did analyze 2,664 deaths. That's way fewer deaths than were in the IBM mortality study, by the way. Ours was based on 33,000 deaths. This is two big companies, and they did follow this cohort and found 2,664 deaths. The two, I'm sure one of them is Intel, and I think the other one is what National Semiconductor has become. They don't say that in the article. But they were workers who were primarily in five states, New Mexico, Arizona, Texas, and Oregon. So you can figure out from that probably which companies these are. First they divided the groups into early, middle, and late technology eras, and they describe why they did and what changed in those different eras. And then they looked at groups of workers such as fab and non-fab employees, and then a subgroup called equipment operators and service technicians. And once again, they didn't find anything. And they said there was no strong or consistent evidence of increased cancer mortality. It's a long article, actually. I think it's 17 pages, which is for a journal article is quite long. But buried in there are a couple of interesting findings. One is that blacks had higher, in this study, blacks had a much higher all-cause death rate and cancer death rate than the rest of the population that they looked at. And the other thing that they found was that hourly workers had an increased risk of death compared to salaried or, you know, managerial workers. So they didn't comment on that, but it's in the tables. You can actually see it. And then they did do some internal comparisons, the so-called relative risk comparisons that these studies sometimes incorporate. And there's some more suggestive findings in the internal comparisons than in these SMR, healthy worker effect, comparisons. Here are a couple of things that, well, Boyce, I know Boyce, I went to graduate school with Boyce. He said, there's little consistency in the findings of various cohort studies, and that included mine and some others that I've mentioned. But, and they say that the in their study, the ovarian and cancer and stomach cancer findings may warrant further investigation. They did note that their study, these two cohorts were fairly young people, so that the average age was such that further follow-up is necessary. That's a great strategy if you want to get funding in the future. You say, well, this is too, you know, we got to follow these people further. Try not to be too cynical here, although I do know the guy. And so they do recommend further follow-up. And then finally, they didn't note the fact that in their decision of who to include the study, they excluded everybody who worked somewhere in some other country. So of the final 100 and a little over 100,000 workers that they included, almost the equal number of people were excluded because they lived in another country. That's to me like closing the barn door after the horses run out, because as we all know, there's been an export of hazards in this industry. There's been an export of the industry, in fact, to Asia, especially East Asia. And so to not include workers who worked in another country, even though they're employed by these huge semiconductor manufacturing, is like, we don't want to know, or we're not going to look. So of the remaining workers that they did look at, they said, well, we didn't really find anything. So that, I guess that's the final point, is that this is a changing industry. The manufacturing processes themselves are changing. They're either becoming more automated. I mentioned methylene chloride. Apparently IBM, at the end of their manufacturing process, had not stopped using methylene chloride. That's one that I believe OSHA is going to move up as a known human carcinogen, or at least the one that needs to be more strictly controlled. And many of these operations have been shipped overseas. I think I said that the San Jose plant, the hard drive plant, was closed, and that operation was moved to China. Mandy or Ted can attest to that better than I can. And there's new technology and new manufacturing processes that are being introduced in this industry all the time. If you go online and look at what the industry is saying about their new technologies, it's all nanomaterials, nanomanufacturing. So I would say that stay tuned on that too, because the hazards of the changing manufacturing process will need to be monitored, and I'm sure there are people already arguing that we need to stop going down this road until we know what the hazards are. So that's, I think, almost all I wanted to say, that there are studies that do suggest increased non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, kidney cancer, brain cancer in this country and overseas. The IBM, I didn't mention this, but IBM has contracted once again with both the University of Alabama and Harvard School of Public Health to follow up on this brain cancer finding, looking at not just the video display terminals now, but looking at other things that these it's a case control study, and what were the cases and the controls exposed to chemically. That's underway. That won't be ready for at least another year. And Bob Herrick is part of that. So I think that there will be a possibility of finding out something either from him or from how they forced something into the final report based on what they determine in this case control study. And so I would end with that. I think that the emerging issues are in Asia, and that's why I'm happy to leave this podium and let the next speakers take their place.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're very subtle, Dean. It was actually a PMR. That graphic was a PMR. We switched to the, without boring everybody, the PMR is a broader measure. PCMR just looks at cancer. Could be. There wasn't much of a healthy worker effect for heart disease, believe it or not, in this cohort, right? This could become an epi class if we let it.
Other questions?
Yes. Yeah. I don't have a sense of that for the industry as a whole, but in IBM, it was predominantly males. Way over, like 80%, something, maybe even more than that, in the mortality data that we looked at. Yeah. Which is, I'm sure, different in Asia. All right.
Thank you.